This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, and welcome to the Full 90 Soccer Time Podcast. Guess who's back? Our weekly look into Seattle Sounders FC nerdy soccer culture, fan outrage, and an attempt to understand summertime in a quarantine during pandemic. And the how to soccer league not funded, MLS. We're your hosts for mornings on 107.7 The End. I'm Gregor. He's been in the locker room, on the pitch, and on a bicycle across all of Western Washington. He is Brandon from the internet.
Not quite all of Western Washington, but... Like, definitely Carnation and Duval.
Yeah, you don't respond to my texts and stuff, Brandon. I'm going to say all over Washington, okay?
Yeah,
that's
okay.
How this is working. Yeah. Just a quick solid click on through to Apple Podcasts or however the crap you listen to this stupid show and give us a rating.
Definitely 5 stars.
But primarily, leave us a comment. We just want to know your favorite ever non-Seattle Sounders FC cyclist.
Yeah, from Wout Van Aert to Julian Alaphilippe.
Is it Art or Ert?
It's Art. I mean, that's how they say it on the broadcast all the time. So I mean, Wout Van Aert.
I assume that he's in contention for the Golden Clog this year.
He is Belgian.
Yeah. Oh, he's Belgian.
Yeah,
oh.
He's Belgian. Do they wear clogs in Belgium?
Get the hell out of here, Belgium. We don't want any of that.
I heard. Hey, didn't you watch a guy get stabbed on a train station in Belgium or something?
Dude. That was crazy. There was a terrorism incident at the it was in, not in Belgium, it was in the Netherlands.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, at the main station there.
So you found it really hard to run away in your wooden clogs.
Yeah, they don't, it was lightly raining and they don't have any traction on the bottom, so it was like a bit couldn't get away. It was I think you know what I'm talking about. This week, the 5th place Sounders FC take on COVID-19 in a battle for the Please Don't Go Bankrupt MLS Cup.
Brandon, how could you go bankrupt if you just put the Adidas logo bigger and bigger in the middle of the pitch?
So awesome. They should figure out how to put it into the back of the net so that way whenever they cut to a replay and they show the net, there it is. Like, you know how they'll put like different colors or checkered patterns or whatever? They should have the Adidas logo back there.
They should just do like technology has come so far nowadays that there's just a Snapchat filter on all of the players' faces that they'll turn into like Adidas logo.
No, I've got it. The refs should wear capes.
Okay.
Imagine a flowing cape behind a ref that had Adidas on it as he was running down the pitch trying to catch up with Jordan Morris. Like,
yeah.
I'll get there.
I feel like Robert Sabiga, I think is his name. He's the bald one that looks like Spanish Lex Luthor.
Yeah, I love that guy.
That guy with a cape would look like an evil villain for sure.
Dude, this is a good idea. Maybe a Zorro mask and a cape.
Yeah.
Like Zorro mask sponsored, obviously, by... whatever the life armor, water
right,
shield
armor,
is.
Yeah. what would they? Okay. If they're cape, Zorro mask, and instead of a red card, they fling like a bandana or like something very like a ribbon, like really flourishy.
No, they could do it like a matador. They could one side of the cape
exactly,
is yellow and the other side is red, and they could. Then they get hit by a bull, and the bull eats them, and it's awesome.
Ozzie Alonso's just sprinting at them at full speed.
If anyone didn't miss this podcast, how dare you? So anyway, a couple things. One, MLS is back, is officially over, and it ended, we're recording this on Wednesday the 12th, it ended last night, and it is shocking to me. Like, how bad the tournament was as somebody who has constantly made fun of it at every turn.
Yeah.
The reason I mainly bring this up now, though, is because this morning I was about an hour into my show before I was like, oh, yeah, MLS Cup or MLS's Back Cup was last night. And it literally was not trending this morning on Twitter, right, which I'd already been on for like 2 hours. What a disaster. If your tournament to cap the best team of your entire league is not trending, and one of the teams is one of the most popular.
Yeah, well, hold on. Like, it's it is the tournament to determine the I don't know if I would be able to say that it's the best team in the entire league. It is the team that was most willing to spend 6 weeks in Florida, I think. And Orlando City, who played in the final, doesn't count because they spend all of eternity in Florida.
From Florida. Yeah,
that's yeah, exactly.
So here's the deal, though, is that I never looked it up. So do you know who won MLS's Back Cup?
Yeah, but I don't really feel like I want to talk about it.
Does it come full of like Robitussin? And you're like, here you go. Congratulations. Yeah. Everyone take a drink, get on the plane. You'll sleep yeah. great.
No, it's the hydroxychloroquine or whatever. It's full of that.
Man, I think they should make that to a, like an Alka-Seltzer tablet where you drop it in and it fizzes and you get like a little effervescence. You're like, oh.
Did you see, like MLS? So first of all, you cannot convince me that this tournament matters at all in any way, shape, or form.
Same.
Except for the first three games. Like, we've talked at length about how that tournament does not matter. Yeah, you can't convince
me of those games either.
No. Yeah. But then MLS, the league, is, you know, at least their social team is putting out these tweets left and right that are basically like, you know, making a big deal out of the trophy that they're using for the tournament, which is just like, it looks like a trophy that you could, like they went down to that trophy shop in South Lake Union that always has the funny signs on the outside and said, please give us something, put this logo on it and use it. Great. Thanks.
For my 10-year anniversary of working at the End, someone got me a cooler looking trophy. So shout outs to Leslie.
That's great. And second of all, it's so stupid. They put out a tweet that was like, we've officially done it. We have set the Guinness World Record for the largest self-contained soccer tournament in history. And I'm like, that's like saying, like, I am the best 29-year-old named Brandon who lives in my apartment. Like, yes, you did that because you're the only one that does it.
I'm the work from home champion, Lori. Yeah.
It's so funny. Like, it's one thing to say, like, here's a tournament that we're doing because we have to make money and we have to, like, be able to pay our players. So we need to give them something to do to be able to pay them. Like, please, you know, go do this. But it's another thing to, like, say, we're going to do this and we're going to pretend like it's a big deal. It's like, let's let it be what it is, which is crappy and stupid, but like a necessary evil for sports fans, right?
I want to go back and listen to the pod where we first discussed there being a tournament and how excited I was about it.
Yeah.
Like, my excitement level was at this maximum because you're watching other sports kind of start to come back and you were seeing how it could be done.
Yeah.
And how, yeah, it's obvious that there's not fans in these stadiums, but it becomes something that you can put out of your mind because of the presentation is so excellent. And now Formula One is full on back. They've had 5 races, and it's been so exciting because the product is great, and they're doing it in like this super safe way where they've only had one person out of like 10,000 tests. They've only had one person come back positive, which sucks because he can't drive the car, and there's only like 15 races, and he's missed 2, and probably will miss a third. That part blows. But the idea that 2 teams didn't compete at this tournament is because of America. That's
right.
1. But then 2, the presentation was just so poor.
It's terrible.
And it looked so second, maybe even third rate. Like, for real, we joked about this, but I went back and watched some clips from when John Manley and I did a couple games as a joke,
right?
Commentating for Sounders S2,
yeah.
And like, the production is only slightly better than a USL match from 5 years ago, which is very concerning. In this day and age, and how proud they were of having rented cranes to put lights out. Like, how is this a thing? And how are they so proud of it? And then I ran a poll on Full 90 Podcast or whatever our Twitter is now. I can't remember. We changed it now.
It's at Full 90 Podcast.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah. I ran a poll just being like, how many minutes have you watched since the Sounders were eliminated? And I literally didn't watch one single minute, despite like trying to remember to watch yesterday. I was like, oh, that finals tonight. I should probably watch that if we're going to podcast. Totally forgot. There's no urgency. There's no anything. And it leads me to believe that the only goal of this tournament was to make sure that the checks still came in for the sponsors that had spent the money for a year-long 100%. Sponsorship.
100%.
And I can, like, you can name 1,000 reasons why that why it's like that, from the blue sidelines where if a player runs too close to the side, his head disappears, to the ball being, you know, crossed in from the corner and it disappears because you got to have the fans up there because the fans are so important that we're putting everyone's safety at risk just so we can put a digital fan up there going like, woo!
I love the way the ball keeps going out on the sidelines. You have those like massive blue things that like, yeah, the players literally disappeared into the background. It's like, are you going to take a throw in? No, I'm going to take a smurf in. I'm going to take a smurfer kick.
Did he get abducted or did a gator get him? I don't, what happened? What happened to João Paulo?
That's a great question.
So I had this like crazy realization on Friday. They released more matches that everyone's going to play because, unlike other tournaments that were deciding the season, they're going to keep going at it because they got to make that revenue. And, you know, we both know people who work for Seattle Sounders FC, and some of those jobs are gone now because of this, because there is no money coming in. And so I can't just be as callous as I have been about this god-awful tournament when it comes to like a season here, where if they could be playing it, should we? And there's like a whole conversation to be had about that. And I don't know where I fall, because I want the sport to come back healthy, but also you need to not sacrifice the human beings to make that possible. But I started asking...
Yeah, go ahead. No.
I started asking some questions about this because I just feel real bad for everybody. You can read a blog now at 1077theend.com I did about the new season. They introduced 6 games that are going to be played, 6 matches, 3 at home, 3 away, as phase 1 of the third start to the season, which is insane. But I started to wonder, like, other than being a total disaster, do we underestimate how hard it is to have, like, a successful soccer league? Or is MLS that bad of a league that the tournament was terrible and it's like we should have expected more? Was the tournament itself just a low point and the whole thing can come back really strong? Like, I don't know how to position this because I'm watching other people get it right, but not within the context of American COVID-19. I don't know what to think.
I think that's the point. What you just said is like, first of all, MLS is what it is in the American sports landscape, right? Like, it is not the page 1A sport. Like,
it's not the NFL.
Doesn't have the NFL money. It doesn't have the NBA money to like put on these huge, great productions. Also, soccer is a hard sport. It's a different sport to watch without fans in the stadium, right? Like NBA, you pick up a lot of noise. Those atmospheres aren't crazy. Like, they're small pit, you know, small stadium, small field. The action is back and forth. It's just nonstop. Soccer without fans is really difficult to watch, even with piped in crowd noise. You just know it's not there. But you watch.
But hold on. But the part of that could easily be solved if the league just polished it up a little bit. Sure. You watch the Hotspur Stadium. You know, as an Arsenal supporter, why am I even saying that? But you watch Tottenham. It has this beautiful facility, and at least like you feel like you're watching a top tier sport being played.
But that's because the Premier League is what it is in England, right? Like, they have the money to go cover all. But like, I mean, all of this aside, it's. I think at the end of the day, what you're talking about is sports being played in America right now. Like
in
Florida of all places. I mean, you're talking about the league coming back. I think it's ridiculous, and I think this Matt G. Hall on Twitter says it like this. He says, MLS, almost 4,000 cases a day, we better shut down the season. Also, MLS, only 60,000 new cases a day, perfect, time to reopen. Like, MLS decided to cancel the season when there were 4,000 new cases a day. Granted, testing and all of that stuff has gone up, but we just know how much worse it is now, yet when they decided to cancel the season with only 4,000 new cases a day, you know, 2 months ago or however long ago it was, now that it's like hurting their pocketbooks, they're like, okay, we need to open up, even though there's way more cases, there's way more deaths. We're gonna have fans in stadiums in Texas. Like, come on, man. Like, Dallas and Houston are gonna have, Dallas at least is going to have fans in the stadium at a reduced capacity. But Texas has one of the worst case rate in the entire country.
So. And that's where I start to like have some heart here, because like I feel like these guys are trying to save the league. These guys and gals, it's not just dudes. Yeah. I feel like the MLS executives are trying to save the league, because if you don't have a league, how many teams can survive until next year without the government bailing them out? And I don't know the answer to that. And I'm sure it's going to be hard for Seattle Sounders FC to keep going. Like, is Zulily even going to exist next year? Like, and that's a huge chunk of change for just the shirt sponsor. Like, little things like that that add up. Like, you imagine. And we're so fortunate that we have such a well-supported and such an extremely successful squad. They go to the playoffs every year. They've won a couple MLS Cups. I mean, you know all this from it. And, like, the city takes it really seriously. And even then, I post on, like, the end, and, like, one person comments on it or whatever. Even such a popular sport has a hard time breaking through. I can't imagine if you're Columbus, who just fought to stay alive, or one of the new teams, how impossible this is going to be, unless you're in a place where soccer is already culturally an important sport. And you could argue that it kind of is here, but then the NFL comes rolling in with its giant merchandise, and the NFL is like Star Wars, where the product really isn't even the most important part. It's the idea that you get into it and you buy up all the merch, and then you punch people in the head. I just assume that's part of it. But and so like then you say, I feel for them. I'm like, they're worried about losing their league, and then they're like, Ed will have fans in Texas, and I'm like, go to hell. Like, just get out of here with your fans in Texas. Well,
it's frustrating is, like, you saw, we saw at the beginning of all of this, and you've said it now, like, England was super hard hit by COVID early on. Italy, France, like, these countries really, really struggled. And now, they were able to all complete their seasons without some, like, podunk tournament in Florida, or whatever the equivalent of Florida is in England. I don't know, like, Portsmouth. Is that the Florida of England?
I don't think they have a Florida. I think if you Newcastle. Ask the English, they would say Wales.
What's the Florida of England? Scotland.
I think Scotland might say that England is the Florida of the UK.
Yeah. I hope we don't have any English fans.
I hope we do. Bring it on.
Yeah. Yeah. But you look at all these other countries who, like, just got their shit together, right? And were able to do what they needed to do and open up and, like, not have a as extreme of a bubble, but they were still able to, like, successfully have a season. You try to put that here and, like, try to carry on as if everything is fine. Like, MLS might as well be run by our president at this point, because they're moving forward as if nothing is happening.
Yeah, it's it's indicative of the American business landscape in some regards. You know, there's obviously, like, my company is not sending any of us back to work until the new year, and so there's obviously a ton of businesses here that are mine's such a large scale communications company that, like, it's easy to be like, American businesses don't care, but, like, mine actually does. And so I don't want to be too dismissive, but there are plenty that don't.
Yeah.
So then I pivot over here to the Sounders' own social media, right? And, like, they're the equivalent of that meme that's, like, changed my mind, where, like, I look at a post from yesterday, it's like, there are plenty of reasons to be excited for the next phase of the regular season. Top of the list, we still... Stop. Stop trying to sell me on why we should look forward to it. You play great soccer, I'm into it, but, like... It's the obvious reasons to like soccer are still there. You don't have to convince me that this is a safe thing, though, because it's definitely not.
Also, the top of the list being that these two players haven't been on the pitch at the same time is, like, not a great reason, like, to be excited. Like, I'm excited to see João Paulo and Nico Lodero play alongside each other. Great. Top of the list should be, like, because soccer is being played, because the league has, like, you haven't had a match in Seattle since, like, March, you know, like, Come on.
I wonder if they will, if they'll change the rules for travel to allow teams to charter every flight, so that way they can.
They did. I think they did. They actually already have said that, is that that charters will be, I think, if not allowed, but required, which is
but,
a lot of
but
players
you're letting
are
fans
like.
In.
But a lot of players are now like, interesting. Now you can find the money to have charters for every match.
It's tough, though, because at the same time, I am trying to keep this open mind about, like, it's easy for us to crap on the people that run the league, but, like, I don't know what their concerns are. Sure. And I don't know how much transparency there is. So before I'm like, Don Garber's the worst, I have to, like, try and keep an open mind about what his worries are. But then they say that there's going to be fans in Texas, and it's like, how much do you actually worry about your players, which is technically the product, and then the fans are what are going to make you that money, and obviously don't give a crap about them. So,
you look at, so there's four teams so far who have said, yes, we are going to have fans. It's Dallas, which we know what Texas is like right now. It's terrible. It's Kansas City.
Right now.
Yeah. it's Kansas City, which I don't know much about how, because aren't they don't they technically play in,
I don't know where their stadium is.
I think they play in Missouri.
Yeah, and Missouri's bars are open, things are going wild.
Yeah, which means nothing because it could still be a hellhole. Utah, so RSL, and Nashville. And I like, granted, I don't know what the case is and the rates and blah, 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 all those places is, but the fact that they're like not filling a stadium, as if FC Dallas could do that on a regular day, according to Brad Evans, that was a great tweet from him. But like the fact that they're even going to have some sort of gathering. I'm a pro cycling fan, right? I've been watching a lot of pro cycling in Europe has returned, and even they who aren't selling, they don't sell tickets to begin with. Like fans just like crowd the roads that these races are on. Even they are banning fans from going, and they have their, first of all, they have their cases like way, way down, and their positivity rate way, way down. But also, like, they're not even selling tickets, and they're like, hey, please don't come to these because we don't want to, like, you to infect each other and B, possibly infect the riders.
Now, do you want content, yes or no? And if you do, what are you willing to accept? Like, I don't know where you're at right now, but I no longer give a crap about, oh, this artist is going to be playing an acoustic guitar in their bedroom, and it's going to sound terrible. And like, I just don't. Post Malone set the mark on that, and since then, I've haven't seen much that has really moved me other than that Pearl Jam thing, the Washington Recovery. What was that called? It doesn't matter. So, like, I'm over that stuff. And so if you want, like, the highest caliber of entertainment to happen again, you have to play by these rules. And for the entire country not to be able to agree what those rules are because the league isn't being tough about it, get out of here. What a bunch of, like, do you... You know, you look at even at MLB right now is having so many problems. I was talking to my friend in St. Louis, and she said that the Cardinals have missed four series because of this. That's a quarter of the season. You know, approximately a fifth of the season. You can't. Yeah. That's not sustainable. There's no way that you can even say that it's fair competition then, or that you can really crown somebody as the champion. This is purely about keeping us from going crazy as fans and making sure that the sponsors have to sign those checks because you're delivering on what you agreed.
Yeah. It's, I've been thinking about this. Like, I usually would be so excited about the Sounders coming back. Ever since I almost completely missed the news that they announced that, you know, six games and then some, right? They're just six announced. There's still more to come to, you know, quote unquote, finish the season. Nine teams of each conference are going to make the playoffs, which is basically everybody at this point.
What is that? Is that literally, there's 24 teams right now? 26?
Yeah.
24?
Yeah. So that's 24. Yeah, I think.
So that's 12 per. So yeah. It's like three teams don't make the playoffs. Then,
Basically, it's like six teams total will not make the playoffs.
They're like, you know what people want is more playoffs. After the success of this tournament, let's make another tournament.
Well, it's
even
just hard.
Worse.
It's just hard at this point to like give a crap about MLS. Ugh. It's hard. Like I've just found myself not being excited even when the Sounders do come back. to watch the Sounders, even like not like yeah, we joke about like realistically, I didn't watch any of MLS's back tournament after after the Sounders were eliminated.
Zero.
And I don't know if it's, I don't know. I haven't watched any of that. I don't know if I'm going to watch any. I mean, I'll probably watch the Sounders, obviously, but like,
yeah, you need to for this podcast, right, Brandon.
Yeah, exactly. Right now I just have no motivation, unless you want to turn it into a cycling and sumo podcast.
Well, and I've got a crazy story for you from the sumo world.
Yeah.
The July tournament happened a couple weeks delayed, but while we were missing in action, the July tournament happened. And a guy who used to be at the top of the ranks, one short of Yokozuna, is Ozeki. He blew out both of his knees and then got diabetes.
Oh.
It was Wilford Brimley. No. He went down, like, he got relegated, like, four divisions down. He is a giant of a man at almost 400 pounds, I think. Tareno Fuji came back, and he made his, after 3 or 4 years of battling back, he made it back to the top division again and won the July Basho. I don't like him because he's totally a villain and a heel, and he is like an intimidator, and he's just not that, he doesn't have the character and the fighting spirit that I like. But yeah. But he came back out of what was surely going to be retirement and put another championship under his giant fat guy sumo belt.
Another championship and a bunch of insulin.
Yeah, I mean, they said that he beat diabetes. I'm trying to always say it the right, Wilford Brimley way, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
They said that he beat diabetes, and I'm like, wait a second. He beat his disease. And I was like, wait, what do you mean beat? Like, he just was like, get out of my body. He's just like, f***ing it out. Like, oh, no more diabetes. I took out my kidneys.
He took a bunch of essential oils that my mother-in-law is always hawking.
Stop. No. But I can't believe that, like, it took cycling so long to come back, though, man, because sumo had fans. They had a limited capacity where it was only one person per, like, they sit in boxes with, like, four, right, and you can only have one person per, unless it was the same family, had to social distance and everything. But you're still sitting in a tiny room full of fat guys smashing into each other, breathing the same air all the time. But Japan has done arguably better than us, but is not doing great, despite the fact that they say they are. There's just limited testing. Anyway, they had fans there, and they were inside doing that. Cycling, literally outside, like where the air circulates, and you might be sucking up the air from the guy in front of you's farts, but like other than that.
Well, I think that's like with cycling, it's definitely a thing. I mean, I've been on rides with friends before where you feel like all you're doing is sucking up farts the entire time.
You're like, hey, guy, let's a little less drinky-drinky the night before, okay?
There's nothing more motivating to go faster and get in front of somebody than sucking a person's farts for 9 minutes. Can you just, like, clip that right there, and we will make that? Yeah, great.
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, that's, like, you look at a cycling, first of all, second, I'll tell you a story about a similar recovery to championship story that you just told me about sumo in a second. But cycling, like, you have the peloton, which is the massive group of riders, like, that right there is a gathering of over 50 people, right? Granted, Europe has figured most of this stuff out and figured out how to get sports back together and how to have people in gatherings together without worrying about killing everybody over 65. There's this one guy since coming back. He's the Belgian guy, Wout van Aert, and he is last year during the Tour de France, during a time trial, a team time trial, or was it personal? I think it was an individual time trial. Doesn't matter. He went into a barrier and tore his like entire shoulder open and had a massive injury and was out for the rest of the season. It's similar to F1 or other racing series, right, where they, like, Tour de France is obviously the one that everybody knows, but, you know, there's a lot of other big
Vuelta
races
de España.
Vuelta, you got the Giro, and then you have a bunch of, like, small single day races and all of that. Anyway, he tore his, like, entire shoulder open, was out for the rest of the season. People thought that he might be done for a couple of years. He came back, and ever since he's been back, he's won every single today. I mean, there was a race today. He's won, first of all, he won two races in the last week, and then today came back. There's this massive three-stage race, and he won the first stage of it. So he's just absolutely tearing it up right now. He did not have to defeat diabetes, though. So
turns out that hydrochloroquine is an amazing advantage gain when you're out there racing. So only, good job.
Only if you're Belgian.
Only if you're Belgian.
Now, you infuse it in a waffle and you're all good.
Oh my God. We're going... We have reached a new low. I'm just looking at some test results here for the Premier League. I just looked that up. And round 14 tests were conducted between July 13th and 19th. So right there at the end of the return of the season. And they tested 2,200 people and had zero positive tests, which is crazy. The week before, they had one positive. It's averaging between zero and one for like 2 months at a time in England there, where they're testing everybody. So it's like clearly they're doing things differently.
How are they doing on hamstring injuries?
Oh, much better than us as well. Is English sports science that much better? We'll find out next. Okay, so we don't have a ton to go on because there's not really a lot happening. But how about that? Brad Smith. He must be having a hell of a time right now.
Yeah, Brad Smith, Brad Smith, as we know him, is single again, ladies. actually, that's not true. I think he's still married, probably even has a kid. But as far as the Sounders are concerned, he is available. Yeah, so he's been playing with Bournemouth, and they have recently released him or freed him. I don't know. Were they freed him? He was trapped.
Go,
he was trapped
run
in
away.
A crystal. He was
run
trapped
away,
in a crystal.
Go, come back.
And he is now free, and the Sounders seem interested in bringing him back. So that would be a very interesting thing. Brad Smith playing at left back. Obviously, Nuhu. I think Nuhu's been looking good. He's been looking less crazy. I don't know if we need Brad Smith right now. You've even got Jovan Jones, who's been a great change of pace when late in the game, if you need that.
He's a great 1-2 punch to Nuhu. You can
totally.
You get a different player, and so you can really change a game up by switching them out. I think it's interesting, though, that on the opposite side of the field, there's also some nibbles.
Yeah, I mean, so Brad Smith, while available and great, the Sounders might not necessarily need to bring him back with Nuhu in his current form. However, you know, great. On the other side of the field, Kelvin Leerdam, who is probably approaching the end of his contract, been with the Sounders now for about 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. DeAndre Yedlin, former Sounder and current Newcastle United player in the Premier League, is, I guess, fallen out of favor and is likely coming up on being a free agent and will need to, I guess that he has expressed some interest, according to sources, coming back to Seattle. The Sounders obviously have expressed some interest. DeAndre is a Premier League caliber, or at least was a Premier League caliber right back. Kelvin Leerdam has looked really good, but I don't think that there's any doubting that DeAndre just brings a something completely different.
Yeah,
to that position.
But DeAndre doesn't bring the golden clog, okay?
That is absolutely right.
Yeah, he might be better at playing soccer, but he doesn't bring that shininess of scoring 4 goals in one season.
that would be really awesome to bring him back. Right sure. Now there's a lot of like complications with the allocation order and things like that. If he were to come back, like the Sounders would have to shell out quite a bit of money in order for him to be able to play for Seattle. We wouldn't want another Freddie Montero situation where, you know, DeAndre Yedlin comes back and plays for the Chicago Fire. That sucks.
Or the Portland Timbers?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, it's interesting, the off-season, mid-season, on-season rumors that are happening with all these different leagues playing at different times. If I was Brad Smith, there's no doubt in my mind that I would definitely not come to America. There's just no way that this is the right move at this time in a generational disaster that you would come to the place that is literally handling it the worst out of all of the major countries. So great job. Looking forward to Seattle Sounders FC return to play. This will be the third start to the season. The second restart, the third start, August 23rd, just over 10 days away at Fartland Timbers. Seattle Sounders play there. That's an interesting one because I think that the crowd gets to Seattle a lot in that venue because it's such a tough place to play. You remove that, suddenly it'll be really interesting. I think that MLS, if you take away America and our inability to handle this, I think that MLS playing in stadiums without fans is going to be very interesting, and it will make Houston look like they don't have people there on purpose, which will be great. Very interesting.
It'll finally give a few teams an excuse, right?
Three matches in 7 days, 8 days, I guess. Portland at LA, and then at home versus LAFC. That is brutal. That's going to be a really tough stretch there. Seattle Sounders right now in fifth place. It's crazy because for anyone who isn't keeping track of this very well, because it is difficult and a moving target, there was those opening matches before the season got called off. Then there was everybody in MLS, unless you were too sick to play, had to play the first three matches of the MLS's back tournament. Those all count. So those, you tally those first numbers up and then the tournament numbers up, and then restarting again to keep the season moving here on August 23rd. You'll keep going and keep adding all this up to establish where we're at with this crazy, crazy time. I don't know.
With nine teams in each conference, the Sounders currently in fifth place, so not that bad. But with nine teams in each conference making the playoffs, it seems like the Sounders streak of never missing the playoffs in MLS history is pretty safe.
Does this count? Like, does this, if your team doesn't do it this year, do you count it in the annals of time?
Whatever idiot that was like when the Sounders were in danger of not making it to the MLS's back tournament playoffs, whatever idiot was like, the Sounders are at risk of not making the playoffs for their first time in MLS history. Like, that would not have counted. I think that if you're going to call it the MLS Cup playoffs, and regardless of the context or scenario, like, yeah, I would count it. Although I would look back in history and be like, that season, like, even the winner of like the premier, like the winner of this season, if it's the Sounders or whoever it is, I'm gonna say like it was such a show, right? Like, it doesn't matter, right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know, I'm not going to put a lot of stock. I mean, and I don't know if that's just like I was saying earlier, I can't be bothered to care about any of it right now, you know, like the longer we go in the country that we live in down the path that we're going down, the less I am finding an escape in sports. You know what I mean?
Brandon, America only needs one competition this fall, and that's presidential election.
That is the competition for, will we be an authoritarian?
The fate of democracy.
Yeah.
It's the U.S. versus fascism, November 3rd.
The Civil War, and not the game played between the two Oregon teams, but an actual Civil War.
Oh.
It's funny because it's true.
Well, in case you just woke up from a racist nightmare to find out you live in an actual racist timeline, it's TLDL. Too long, didn't listen. Only got one this week, Brandon. Too long, didn't listen. Ref capes.